Good afternoon. It's great to see all of you back here today. I hope everyone that was here got to enjoy the fellowship meal that we just got to have. Some great food, and nothing's better than free food, in my opinion. You know, it's great. I love when the church does these things, and really thankful for those who cooked for it and those who did anything to help out. I think my way of helping out was making sure that there wasn't as much left at the end of it. So that's my gift to those who made stuff. So anyway, I hope everyone had a happy holidays as well. And I know kids are probably feeling great about maybe some of the new socks and stuff that they got, you know, but no, I'm sure they're pumped about maybe toys or games or other things that they may have received. But the older you get, that stuff kind of goes away. You appreciate the clothes more than the family time the older you get. But I know it's kind of I would say traditional in a way to start with the year's coming to an end, and so we're starting to think about the new year a little bit, and the first thing that probably comes to your mind is, okay, what's my New Year's resolution going to be this year? Maybe some of you don't think about that. Me, the last couple of years, I haven't really set one for myself, and I guess it's just because I was like, what's the point in it? Everyone does it, and no one really sticks to it anyway, unless you're like one of those who's like, I want to live for one more year, or like maybe that's your goal for this year. But I know, as the new year begins, so do a lot of resolutions live one's life better than before. That's usually one of the main goals for resolutions, is how to live your life better. What can you do to make it better? It starts to make me wonder how many of us maybe kept our resolutions from this year, the year that has gone by with just a couple of days left in 2019. I said, I didn't have one for this year. I didn't make myself one, but, if you were able to keep up with yours, then that's great. But I do have one for this year, and that is for this coming year, I want to be in better health before my wedding date. That is, which for me, when I first got here, I was 170 pounds, and I'm 196 at the moment, so I don't know why I've gained that much that I've been here. I guess it's all the people that give me food while I'm here, but I don't let anything go to waste, I guess. But, with these resolutions and just things in general, we live knowing that we're not going to do everything that we intend to do. But we need to give our best foot forward in the things that we do try to do. So what are we going to do with this new year that has been given to us? I appreciated Glenn's sermon this morning about love and, what better thing to talk about with coming to the close of a new year than talking about how love relates to our lives and how we can do better at giving the love that we need to give as Christians. But so what are we going to do with this new year? Well, I think most people tend to look at their past year and just think about what they could have done better or what they should have done better at. Well, our motivation to do better, I think, needs to come from what lies ahead, not from what we didn't accomplish this last year or whenever. There's a lot of things ahead that, none of us can know. There's a lot that none of us can know what the future holds. But we can know how to approach the future. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 is going to be our main text this afternoon. And it says that, this is Paul writing here, he said, not that I have already obtained it or I've already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love Scripture for the part that usually there are basic lessons in which we that we can see if we just look hard enough, if we just look into the Scripture and see maybe what Paul is saying or any of the other writers that are written in the Bible. There are simple messages that are put in there for our learning. Right off the bat, here starting in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, and verses 12 through 14, I think the first thing that Paul kind of implies here is leaving the past behind. We need to leave the past behind. Whether your past contains good memories or nightmares or things that have gone good, things that have gone bad, we cannot allow the past to capture and grasp our attention. It can't be what we focus on. There are things that happen in our past, maybe things that are good, things that are bad, but the negative things, they can overwhelm you with guilt. You know, when something negative happens, it can delay the progress of your intentions, and that can happen with any of us. We need to force ourselves to get out of that rut, to not focus on the negatives, but even sometimes, even focusing on the positive things that happen, the positive things, they can keep you from present opportunities. They can keep you from, you might think things are going good, so this is just the level we need to stay at. It can keep you from progressing in the way that you need to. A lot of us have maybe heard the line, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's one of those things, if your car's running fine, there's no need to do anything to it. Just keep the oil changed and go about your way. Even when things that are good are happening, we can become ignorant of moving forward. Positive does not always mean that we are moving toward the right things or the things that we need to do. With leaving the past behind, we don't need to entirely forget the past, as is talked about in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, but we don't need to dwell on the past. Galatians 1:13, Paul says here, "For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and try to destroy it." Paul here is talking about, this was my past. And he mentions it here for the church to recognize, yes, he was at fault at one point, but this is where he's at. But this is where he is at now. He is now moving forward. He's gone away from that, and he's moving toward the upward call which God has called him to. But also in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am most of." Paul still saw himself as a sinner. He still, not even just a sinner, but the foremost of them. But he wants us to know that he's moving on. He doesn't forget the past that he lived, but he's not going to dwell on it. He's moving forward from it. And he wants us to do the same thing. Paul knew that looking back on that past, and if he dwelt on it, if he dwelt on that past that he once lived, it would tear him down. But instead, he focused on those things to come. Even though he remembered it sometimes, he didn't dwell on those things. He kept moving forward. And the only way to really put the past behind you is through humble confession and repentance. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 reads, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our ability to confess our wrongdoings and to be humble, that's the attitude that we need to have before we can move forward. We need to recognize that repenting of maybe those things that we've done wrong, or the things in which we may have sinned or have done wrong, we need to not dwell on those things. We need to ask God to forgive us of those things, so that we can continue to move forward in the steps in which we need to take. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 goes in a little bit of a depth here. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Another one of Paul's writings to the church here at Corinth is just simply explaining that in Christ you are new. In Christ you have a not just a new life, but a new law, a new way to live, and there are new things to come. But these old things in which you previously knew, they need to be done away with. You need to let those things go, because those things are not going to those things are not cause for your salvation. They're not cause for helping your life to improve the way that it needs to. You need to move forward from those things and be the Christian that you need to be. That newness comes from being in Christ. So give up what you once knew and work toward the new thing. With working toward these new things and giving up and leaving that past behind, there's something important that we need to do, and it's point number two, is that we need to accept our imperfections. Us as people are not perfect. And Paul really defines what that means, especially verses 12 and 13, mainly, you know, not that I've already obtained it or I've already become perfect, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. That's accepting imperfection, is letting go of that and letting go of what is behind you and moving on to what's in front of you. It's so easy for us to look around and think of some of the wrong things that maybe in our lives that we have done, or maybe something that someone else has done. No. And that in and of itself, you can't dwell on those things. Having conflicted emotions about what you've done, right or wrong, toward each other, it does not get anyone anywhere. People are not perfect. It takes time for people to recognize maybe some things that they have done wrong and come in, and for that thought to come into their conscience, like, hey, it's time to let this go. Don't expect the impossible from another person, but rather learn patience and long suffering. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, Paul writes, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You know, doctors, they work many hours in surgery, sometimes performing surgeries that are possibly life-threatening. They know that just one small slip, and that's the life of the person they're working on. And sometimes that happens, and there's nothing that they can do to help that. Things do not always go the way we intend. But we need to be patient with those who have not figured out completely of what they needed to do to not make the mistake, who have not figured out the path that they need to be on. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, is a very good scripture to go here for this. It says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye'? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Not just with looking at ourselves, but before we look at maybe others who have failed to do what they have intended to, we need to look at ourselves and correct those things in which we have failed to do. Only then can we take time to help those who we need to have patience and long suffering for, those that who need help but can't quite get over the hump that they need to keep moving on. You know, at work, your boss may get onto you for something, you know, that you did, and you try to steer their focus onto something else that someone did wrong, hoping and thinking that what you did is not as bad. And that's wrong. Don't let the log in your eye keep you from seeing what you need to do. Don't let it keep you from taking the responsibility for your own life and what you need to take to keep moving on. James chapter 2, verse 13, goes on to say, "For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." Mercy triumphs over judgment. If we're not showing mercy, if we're not showing this patience or this long suffering toward the people that we need to before that they can move on, it's not going to be good for us. So we need to have the right attitude. We need to be merciful. And we need to begin this new year that's coming with something that will help us to succeed in what we intend to do. That moves us on to the third point. That is, we need to keep moving forward. We need to keep moving forward. As Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." We need to press toward that. We've already seen, you know, things about us not being perfect, but we need to not dwell on our imperfections just as much as we need not to dwell on our pasts. You know, farmers who have a poor crop for 1 year, they can't let that discourage them. They have too much riding on the fact that they need to do better the next year so that they don't find themselves in an even bigger hole that they're already in. They need to do better so that they avoid more problems. They just sit there, nothing's going to change, nothing's going to get done, nothing is going to do better for itself. No mechanics, they don't tear apart a transmission and decide they won't put it back together. You know, they still want the car to run at the end of the day, or two or three, however long it takes them to put it back together. You know, it's what they do. It's what they do, and it's what they need to do. Just like farmers and mechanics, Christians cannot dwell on their previous state of unholiness, or else they will fall back into the things in which they previously were practicing. It's so important that we move forward. And that's how we get things done. I want us to take Abraham, for example, in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10 and 13 through 16. Hebrews chapter 11, 8 through 10 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going, but by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Verses 13 through 16. All of these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. During Abraham's time of moving through and moving, and even along with these, the rest of the characters mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, all of them were faced with different challenges to their faiths. Usually they probably had something go wrong in the midst of the things that they were doing, but they had to learn to get back up and keep moving forward. If you remember Sylvester Stallone in some of the Rocky movies, he said life is about how hard you get hit and get back and getting back up again. It's not about getting hit and staying down and giving up. It's about getting hit and getting back up and making sure you keep moving forward. You got to keep coming. There will be challenges that we face in life, and some may be easy, but others are going to be hard. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus went through many challenges of his own. Think even beyond the challenges of going to the cross or going through the suffering and the beatings and the scourging that he went through. Probably one of the biggest sufferings he may have gone through was giving up his position in heaven for a time. He already had it all, and he was willing to give it up so that, for a time, so that we could have it all. The way that this applies to us is that people around us are watching what we do and how we do it. Are we being leaders? Are we being followers? Are we being listeners? Do we care enough to help those who need some better things so that they can continue to live? Are we willing to lead others to better lives? Are we willing to listen to those who are hurting and mourning for different things that may have happened? There are different challenges in which we are going to face. And we as Christians, us as children of God, as we are claimed to be, we need to do the things that God desires for us. We need to do the things that will help others lead a better life. So what are we incorporating into our lives that helps us push on toward that goal? Paul said he's moving on toward that upward call of God. He's working toward that prize in which has been promised to him by working toward this call. I think one of the main things that we find being in Jesus is in which we need to incorporate into our lives is happiness. We have a sign at the front of our property that says, happiness is not a feeling, it's a destination. It's been out there probably the last couple months at least. I know it's been out there a while. Are we bringing happiness? Are we bringing joy? Are we bringing peace to those around us that need it? to those that need their spirits lifted from some of the things that are tearing them down in life. Our happiness should be found in Christ. Our faith should be found in Christ, and our salvation is in Christ. We need to begin this new year right. I'm not asking us to, you know, come up with some earthly physical resolution for ourselves, but to come up with a spiritual one, one that is going to lead us closer to God, one that's going to lead our lives and the lives of others in the way that that it needs to be, that they need to be led. Jesus, he doesn't care about what we were yesterday or the day before. And he cares about what we are now. He cares about what we're going to be. Because now is what we are defined by. So let's resolve to remove the hindrances that will keep us from reaching our destination, being children of God, the people that we need to be, the Christians in which we are to be. To become a Christian, you need to hear the word, and you need to believe it. Then you need to repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and as your Savior. Then you can be baptized into that cleansing flood in which you are forgiven of your sins, and then you need to live the life of a Christian. Live the life that God so desperately desires for you to live. And you can do that today if it is something that you know you need, that needs to be done. For those who are struggling and are in need and are maybe losing sight of that upward call or that goal in which Jesus has called us to, you're not alone. There's some of us that still might be struggling to grasp what Jesus wants them to do. If you need help with anything, if you need comfort, need prayers with the congregation, you can do that today as well. If there's anything you need, please come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.